Hello and welcome to Therapy for Me, and welcome especially to anybody who's here for kind of the first real time, because you might have had an episode plonked in front of you over the course of the last week, and this might be the first time you've come back to listen again just to see if what you heard the first time round is actually what you heard and whether you want to carry on or not. I've said many times with this that I'll often sit down and I've got nothing before I start, and you kind of have to trust the process. The process will deliver and you'll end up with a podcast at the end of it. Well, this morning is very much one of those mornings. So I'm going to literally hit stop now. You can have a bit of twangy guitar and I'm going to go and put the kettle on.
Monday.
Okay, so the kettle's boiled and the tea is mashing. So we've got roughly 4.5 minutes for me to wrap up the back end of the Marillion weekend. Obviously, we got as far as the first night of the gig last time. And I've not really had a chance to expand on anything more that happened. I think I finished by saying that it was a magical and beautiful thing, which of course it was. Absolutely incredible. I'm still trying to process it this far down the line. We had two more nights that were very, very special. Just things that happen in a way that I kind of didn't expect things to happen. I got to interview sounds far more formal than it was, particularly bearing in mind before we chatted, he sent me a text message saying, put the kettle on and take your trousers off. I got a chance to talk to Nick Beggs. And we had a really, really interesting conversation, which I was able to capture, and that hopefully that will come out at some point for the 942 podcast. So that was special. And Nick was one of the first people I saw when I arrived, and I've only seen him on a screen up to this point. So it was really great to meet him. Obviously, the football went the right way. Sheffield United managed to beat Wednesday on Sunday. It was the only thing I was really going to miss while I was away. But as I was walking around on the Sunday morning, I spied a guy walking towards me in a Sheffield United shirt and kind of made a thing of saying, you're in a Sheffield United shirt, to which I was told that he was off to watch the match because there was a group of Blades who were at the convention and they had a dodgy fire stick and it was being watched in their chalet. And by the way, I know I say chalet rather than cottage. I've been told that I should be saying cottage and that makes me posh. But I don't know. It's a holiday park. It's got to be a chalet. I don't know how it's anything else. And I don't really see chalet being posher than cottage, if I'm being honest. I think it's probably the other way around. But I'll leave it because there's probably rules around this and I'm just blissfully unaware to them. So I ended up in their chalet watching United beat Wednesday, which was great. And there was sort of 7-8 United nights to 2 Wednesday nights, which ended up being the perfect kind of mix for that kind of result. So that was, you know, that was really special. On top of just everybody I bumped into, everybody who listened to TCD, everybody who I was meeting for the first time, people who I'd known for years that I was meeting for the first time. And there's a big shout out goes out to you there, Shane. And we managed to get the run together. So just difficult to process it even in this amount of time. Such is the enormity of the event. And I appreciate you need to be a Marillion fan for the enormity of the event to really... Well, no, that's the cost of entry. The enormity of the event, I think, will be evident to anybody who was there. But the cost of entry probably was being somebody who was in that group of Marillion fandom people. But aside from everything, even just going out for a run, even just walking around the place, even just looking out over the water, even the swan made it what it was. As you can possibly hear in my voice, I've had my first slurp of tea, so we're in a good place. We're in a good place at 6:33 on Saturday morning. I lost myself in the final night of the three gigs in a way that I haven't done for a long, long time. And when I'm asked this question, I always say that my entry into Marillion was season's end. And to a certain extent, my entry into Marillion proper was season's end. But at that point, I did own the Thieving Magpie album. And I did used to go for long walks when I was feeling that nobody understood me, which is what you tend to do when you're sort of 16, 17. And I would listen to Misplaced Childhood over and over and over again. So the first thing I really listened to in absolute, I guess, frequency was Misplaced. And as much as I do think, because I listened to the live album before I listened to the studio album, I struggled with the studio album. I think it sounds dated in a way the live album didn't. Don't know if that's right or wrong, but that's just my take on it. But it's also something that sits in a certain place in my life. So I don't tend to revisit it that much because it was a very intense period. I intensely listened to that record. The reason why I'm telling you this is because I lost myself in the music. I lost myself when the first chords of Kaylee kicked in. I lost myself and was singing away at the top of my voice, completely unaware of my surroundings. And I haven't done that in a gig for a long, long time. Now, I carried on. I'd be doing it before that point, actually, because Season's End is such a special album for me that I'd been doing it anyway. But I really, it was only when those three came on, I lost complete sense of where I was and then carried on losing complete sense of where I was for the rest of the evening. Because normally I do kind of stand at the back and yes, I might drift, but I'm appreciating rather than wholeheartedly karaokeing, and I was wholeheartedly karaokeing on Sunday night with no sense of shame or embarrassment.
Wednesday.
These birthday week episodes are always a little bit reflective. There's always that moment where you stop and you think. And I found myself thinking about, I guess, beyond me. If it's a shame that this couldn't be from somebody else's perspective, because that would be a good way of using the song title. But I found myself thinking beyond me because I was thinking about how long I've got left and what age the boys will be at the point when I'm not around. I remember very, very clearly when Josh was probably 2 or 3, something around that age, might have been younger. He was out of his cot, so actually, no, probably was older, because I laid by the bed with him in his room, and it dawned on me that I wouldn't always be there for him, which really, really upset me, actually, at the time, and I've carried that around since. It's one of the moments. I don't seem to remember a lot of moments. I was thinking that this week, that there's a lot about my life I can't seem to really remember. Everything is hazy, particularly my, younger life. But even through my 20s and 30s, I have to think hard to anchor it down. But I very much think about that moment. And okay, that moment's in nearer, it's sort of a lot closer by. I mean, we're talking, 13, 14 years ago, rather than where we are looking back 30 odd or 40 years ago. But that moment was very powerful. And I found myself thinking about what age. I've still got both my parents kicking around. They're in the late 70s and I'm now 54. But that won't happen. Josh won't have that. Jack won't have that. They won't probably have 54 with me still being here. There's the whole thing about, if they decide to start a family, whether I'll be around to see that moment or not. So you then start thinking, and then I found myself projecting forward and thinking about them as they hit my age now and older, those whole cycles and how everything goes. And it's not that I was necessarily, sort of depressed and saddened by it. It was more of a matter of fact kind of way, at what point will either of the two of my children face a future without me or without their mum or whatever it might be. And of course, you don't know those things. But the one thing I do probably know for certain is with the age difference that there is, Josh being 17 as he is now, that I would have to be 91, you know, for him to hit 54 for the same scenario I've just hit to work for him. And I don't know necessarily that whether that will be a thing or not, but it just stops you. It does stop you in that second.
Thursday.
I don't normally do birthday presents, really. I don't really do my birthday. If you've been listening to this for a while, you know that I find my birthday a difficult day to process. I mean, if you listen to the last section, you've probably realised some of the reasons why, but I've always found it tricky. I don't like to be the centre of attention. And that might seem really weird to anybody that's listening to this for the first time and has possibly interacted with me over the course of the last week, but I don't really like to be the centre of attention. I like to be in the middle of things, but I like to be able to kind of push things away and divert things across. I don't like it when everybody focuses on me for the day in that kind of birthday way, because it's a different kind of focus on your birthday. So I've always struggled with it. And I've always struggled with the whole thing of, you know, don't make me special today for something that's to a certain extent a little bit arbitrary. So as I say, if you've listened a lot, you know I struggle with it. But this year I've done something that I probably haven't done before, which is I've kind of had things, when people always say to me, what do you want for your birthday? And I always, you know, will throw out something glib like world peace, which isn't glib at the moment, actually. That's probably more profound than it's ever been and certainly more needed. But I will throw something glib out there. Again, just in a way of diverting it away from that focus. But this year I've actually kind of wanted stuff. I've actually thought, oh, that'd be quite nice. That'd be quite nice to have that. And it'd be quite nice to have that. That'd be quite nice. And it's my birthday, so why don't I just do it in the name of my birthday? So I'd ordered the Coles Corner album on vinyl because it's 20 years of the Richard Hawley album. And I then made the decision, because she was going to be so close, to book tickets for Thea Gilmore for the Friday night. And she was playing over at a venue in place called Birdwell, which is really a working men's club. It's a kind of a posh working men's club, but it's a working men's club, and I've been there before. And it's normally tribute acts that go, but she was playing, and it's one of those strange things of, I'm sure it was the finances, the way the money will have worked, that made it worthwhile for her. But she was playing there, so it's like, do you know what, let's go. So having come off the back of three gigs, that was a treat, and I'll talk about that in the next section, but that was in there. And then the kind of the, and I don't do merch as a rule, but the email dropped about the farewell to Port Zealand t-shirts, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to have one. I've got one Marillion t-shirt. I had two. Actually, I've got two. I've got the Somewhere Else one, the Ian one with the drum kit on the front. And I've got my Holidays in Eden launch party t-shirt at the Borderline Club, which I actually wore on the last day of the convention to travel home in, basically. And I would have worn it publicly, but there was no point because it was so cold that at no point in time did you walk around in a t-shirt anyway. So there didn't seem much point. So I wore that on the way home. So I've ordered the Farewell to PZ t-shirt because I was there and it feels like the thing to have as a memento, even if I don't end up wearing it. And I ordered the poster as well, because the poster looks great. So I've ordered that as well. So I've done some merch in a way I don't normally do merch. And then I ended up buying an album. I ended up buying one of Thea's albums, her new album, actually on vinyl at the gig. So I've kind of done, all the people who asked me about my birthday have now actually got something that I've bought within a day of my birthday, which is really, 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 really rare.
Friday.
So on to last night, on to Thea Gilmore at the Birdwell venue, just off the road into Barnsley, in a very much a working men's club vibe, in a kind of venue that years and years and years ago I used to play because I was in a duo with a friend of mine, and we did all the clubs and we played Great Big Slabs of Cheese, which I really loved. Actually, you played Take That and Boys Own and Ronan and, you know, things from the Blues Brothers and all manner of things. And we did that. It was brilliant. There was two of us. We had backing tracks, but I played live guitar. We both sang and it was great. And I've played in lots of rooms like that. Not quite as nice as that room. That room was well turned out. But I've played in lots of rooms like that. So it was a proper throwback to doing that. And first and foremost, look, I know I bang on about Thea Gilmore. I know you 99% of you don't care. But it's not fair in the way that she is incredible. She came on last night. She is supremely talented. She has got an incredible voice. She just pulls these things out of the air using bits of tech and a voice and a couple of guitars. She just pulls moments of absolute beauty out of nowhere with these songs that are just exquisite. And I've seen her do it three times now. I saw her for the first time when I saw Richard Hawley, whatever it was, September, October last year. I can't remember exactly what month it was in. Might have been later. And that was booked last minute on a whim. And then got to see her at Union Chapel just before Christmas, which was, you know, beautiful, and what a venue. And then, literally, you could have heard a pin drop. Well, apart from some guy behind us who thought eating crisps was a really good idea, and I nearly lost it at one point. Apart from him, who clearly had wandered in not knowing who was on that night and probably lived around the corner and got into everything because of the virtue of the fact that he probably, I don't know, lived around the corner. Apart from that, you could have heard a pin drop in this room. And it was... I'd lost it in a different way. I lost it in the fact I was just transfixed, absolutely transfixed. And it just made me realise that, as I say, everything about it's not fair. Actually, everything about the whole week's not fair. 3,000 people or not at Portsea Land, there is no justice because Marillion should be touching more people than they're touching. And I'm in the camp of I don't want them necessarily to be bigger because they wouldn't be as accessible, and none of the great things that would have come along for me had Marillion been an Uber act, you know, and impossible to penetrate. So I don't want that, but it's the recognition. And it's not, and actually I want to see Thea in a venue that size. I want to be able to talk to her at the end, you know, which I did. I want to be going through this ping pong with her because we're trying to organise to record a podcast, and it's just not happening because she does everything herself. So she's constantly, you know, just going from one thing to another. And that accessibility wouldn't be there for either if they got the recognition they deserve. But that still doesn't make it fair. And I don't know how you then square that thing off. But she said at one point that she releases albums and they go out into the world with very little fanfare, but they find the people they need to find. And that this entire TFM this week really is about that. It's about that because it's as beautiful as the PZ weekends, that somebody like that, with that much talent, with that much ability, who writes songs like she writes, can put them out knowing in absolute faith that they will find the people they need to find. And that's absolutely magical. So if you have 5 minutes and you could go down that Thea Gilmore kind of journey of discovery, I was going to say rabbit hole, but that's wrong, that journey of discovery, then you will be rewarded. In the same way that if you listen to the Sunhouse album last night week, you would be rewarded. Or if you listen to Craig Joyner from a couple of weeks ago, you would be and will be rewarded. But what a beautiful way to spin your disproportionate amount of recognition to your talent and your output to say something like that, which I thought was absolutely amazing. I didn't last week say, how are you? I didn't check in because of the way I finished last week. It's not quite sure why. So I hope you're well. Hope you had a good week. I've had a really interesting week, a really great week, actually. And maybe a week where I've kind of found a new route to deal with this, which is a difficult week for me. But of course, whatever happens, we've flipped over seasons. We're into spring. That whole thing, it doesn't necessarily feel different in the weather too much yet, but there's something slightly different in the world. So we've flipped over into that new space, which I'm really, really pleased about. So take care of yourself. Stay safe. Find a little bit of peace if you can, and go and listen to something by Thea.
If you've enjoyed Therapy for Me, then please subscribe and share as you see fit. This has been an A Short Stories production.